Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Professor Marjorie Hershey, who teaches political science at Indiana University in Bloomington. Her research focuses on political parties, campaigns, and elections. She is the author of Party Politics in America, the major political parties text, now in its 15th edition. And she received the American Political Science Association's Epstein Award for Innovation in Teaching. Welcome to Background Briefing, Marjorie Hershey.
Thank you.
And clearly, the very close Senate election in your state of Indiana is now, I think, I don't know how much it's up for grabs, but it's certainly getting the nation's attention. The candidate who knocked off the Senate's elder statesman, Richard Lugar, in the Republican primary with Tea Party support and support from the Club for Growth and others, he specifically attacked Richard Lugar's record of bipartisan problem-solving, saying the time for collegiality is past, it's time for confrontation. He also said that his idea of bipartisanship is when Democrats agree with him. How much was the defeat of Lugar and his contemptuous view of cooperation and bipartisanship, was that already a factor in this race before he put his foot in his mouth in terms of his religiosity?
Oh, it absolutely was. One of the things that we saw very early after the primary was that Mr. Murdoch turned out to be not a bad loser, but a bad winner. Within a couple of weeks after the primary, he was still attacking Senator Lugar in his fundraising appeals and, as a result, making a lot of Lugar supporters rather irritated with him. So this has really been a theme in the race ever since before the primary was held.
And it seems ironic in many ways that Murdoch's candidacy for the United States Senate is the only Senate candidate. He's the only Senate candidate running for whom Mitt Romney has taken out time to make a TV ad, which I believe he just did yesterday or maybe the day before, but very recently.
And yeah, yesterday was the first time I had seen it, and it struck me at the time, wow, what unfortunate timing for Romney.
Right. So the question now is, and there's obviously pressure on Romney to pull the commercial and to distance himself from Murdoch, but so far, that doesn't look like it's happening.
No, I don't really think Romney can. He did something relatively similar with Aiken in Missouri, the guy who claimed that women's bodies somehow have the ability to separate out rape from other forms of sexual activity and therefore to shut themselves down rather than developing a pregnancy. Romney at first said he thought that this was a terrible statement and called on Aiken to get out of the race. Aiken declined to get out of the race. And after a while, as I'm sure both Aiken and Romney were well aware, there was no alternative for the Republicans but to stand behind Aiken because they can't concede that Senate race.
So this candidate, who's a geologist by trade and is currently the state treasurer of Indiana, this remark came at the end of a debate against his challenger, the Democratic centrist Joe Donnelly, who also I think has fairly conservative and religiously based views on abortion. What Murdoch is now trying to say is that his opponents are trying to twist his comments. They seem pretty straightforward. I mean, does anybody buying that in Indiana?
No, I don't think so. But I think, frankly, there aren't an awful lot of people who were very undecided on this race. I think this is very typical of the national picture right now, where what we see is that a good chunk of the population decided probably months ago what they were going to do with respect to the presidential race, and in Indiana with respect to the Senate race. So basically, these candidates are talking to a very small proportion of people who remain undecided. Those people may not have been paying attention a month or two ago, and they are probably the people who are the least likely to decide on the basis of issues. They are much more likely to decide on the basis of their sense of the candidate's character, their feeling for whether or not the candidate seems like a nice person, a good person, an honest person. And so this really isn't a conversation anymore about whether or not Murdoch meant one thing or another. It's a conversation about whether Murdoch is out of the mainstream.
Again, I'm speaking with Professor Marjorie Hershey, who teaches political science at Indiana University in Bloomington, and she's the author of Party Politics in America. So when did the early voting start? Is it already underway?
Early voting has been underway for about 10 days in Indiana, and by all accounts, it seems to be just about the same as it was in 2008, which means relatively heavy. But the people who Murdoch and Donnelly are aiming at right now are not the early voters. The early voters are the people who are partisan, who know who they want to vote for. And they're basically evenly divided in the polls, which means that they are both right now aiming at a very small group of people whose interest in politics is probably less than that of most other people, whose knowledge about politics is less than most other people.
Well, but it has broader implications for the Republican Party nationally, surely, Professor Hershey, because they are trying to close the gender gap with women, where they are considerably behind among women. 8% women support Obama over Romney. Romney, of course, enjoys a 14% lead amongst men over Obama. Again, I guess the notion that the candidate who, as I mentioned, is the only Senate candidate that Romney's made a TV ad for is trying to sort of backpedal furiously and say people are twisting his words. Why don't we just play his words? Yes, let's play his words now so that we can really get a feeling for, in fact, whether anybody's twisting them.
You know, this is that issue that every candidate for federal or even state office faces, and I, too, certainly stand for life. I know there are some who disagree, and I respect their point of view, but I believe that life begins at conception. The only exception I have for to have an abortion is in that case of the life of the mother. I struggled with it myself for a long time, but I came to realize life is that gift from God, and I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that it is something that God intended to happen.
So there you have it, Marjorie Hershey. He did say that God intended it to happen. What is he now claiming the day after is somehow being twisted?
He and the head of the National Senatorial Campaign Committee, John Cornyn of Texas, are both claiming all he meant to say was that he believes that life is precious. As we can both hear, he said a little bit more than that in that quote. And I think that the reason that this is so central now to our discussion of what's going on is that the national race is very close. It's obvious with respect to the House of Representatives that the Republicans will retain control of the House. The presidential race is tied. The race for the Senate's control by party is extremely close. The Republicans need either 3 or 4 net gain of seats in order to control the Senate. That means that basically it's those 3 or 4 seats in the Senate that stand between a divided government and total Republican control of Washington, of the White House and both houses of Congress. This seat in Indiana was formerly and is currently Republican held. So if it turns out that the Republicans lose this seat, if Murdoch loses as a result of this comment and many others, then the Republicans would need to make up by getting two other Democratic seats to go their way, and that will be extremely difficult.
And also, as it happens, on the same day of this remark from the Republican Tea Party Senate candidate Richard Murdoch, Federal Court, the Seventh U.S. Court, Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, blocked the Indiana's defunding of Planned Parenthood, which was pushed through by Governor Mitch Daniels, he signed legislation back in May of 2011, attempting to cut the organization off from funding. So it seems that the issue is front and center, is it surely?
Well, it is, and I think what's most important about it is that it shows what happens when we do have one-party control of a particular area of government in this time of very polarized political parties. Governor Daniels was able to do that because he had a Republican House and Senate in the state of Indiana, and so the Republican leadership used that time to try to defund state funding of Planned Parenthood, pass a right-to-work law, which would limit labor unions' organizing ability, and a whole series of other items on their wish list. This is what the Republicans would like to do in the nation as a whole. And that's why these very few Senate seats that are very highly contested are so extremely important right now, and why it is that the Republicans, whether or not they believe that Murdoch is valid in his views, have no other Republican alternative, so they are going to do everything they can to try to support him and eke through that victory.
But how is it affecting, though, Congressman Mike Pence's, he's a Republican congressman running for governor. He's called on Murdoch to apologize. Clearly, he must be feeling defensive, too.
I think that probably Representative Pence feels that if he did anything short of committing a felony between now and Election Day, he's going to win. He's been ahead all the way along. Romney has been ahead all the way along in Indiana. The only exception we have to that is the Murdoch and Donnelly race. Pence's opponent, John Gregg, who is the Democratic former Speaker of the Indiana House of Representatives, has been very explicitly trying to appeal to those Lugar Republicans who were so upset when Lugar lost the primary. So the Lugar supporters have really been a key target in this race, but I don't think that even if Mike Pence tried, he could lose the governorship of Indiana.
But the question remains, will the Lugar supporters support Donnelly, the centrist Democrat?
Normally what we would expect is that a lot of those people toward the end of the campaign as Election Day approaches would come home to the Republican Party, that they might object to what happened in the primary and they would stew about it for a while over the summer, but when push came to shove, rather than pulling the label of the other party, they would come back home to the Republican candidate. That's why the timing of this is very bad for Murdoch. This would be a time when those Lugar Republicans would need to be coming back home, and it may give them pause.
And I should think those among those potential swing voters, if you will, the Lugar supporters who are women, surely you'd have to give extra pause, wouldn't they?
It's also very important for the Republicans nationally because of the fact that given that they've got a problem now in Indiana, more of the Republican national money is going to have to pour into Indiana in advertising, and that means it's going to have to come out of some other close races where they would rather put it. There are not unlimited amounts of money, although goodness knows if you watch television these days, it appears that there are, but it seems clear that this is going to redirect some money from other close races in Montana, in various other parts of the country, to Indiana, and that is not something the Republicans wanted to do.
Well, ironically, the fact that that Romney did so well in the first debate completely changed the financial landscape. The big donors were abandoning Romney. They thought he was going to lose, and the party was starting to pour tons of money into the House and Senate races, and now they've reversed that. So,
You know, it is very difficult for me to imagine that it could have played out any differently from a real switch in the race after the first debate, because the coverage of Romney's campaign in September had been so negative. He had done some things that were not optimal as a presidential candidate, but it had gotten to the point where, you know, when you're getting laughed at by Jay Leno and David Letterman, you really are considerably undervalued as a presidential candidate. So I think it was inevitable that Romney would bounce back when we got past that media story and had Romney actually presenting himself. After all, he's been debating for months now in the Republican nomination race. He's had a lot of practice at it. He's certainly a capable candidate. So his stock was kind of undervalued going into the beginning of October, and I thought it was inevitable, unless he simply fell on the floor and started to twitch during the debate, that he was bound to do better than expected.
Well, he certainly reached that threshold. So just in closing then, Marjorie Hershey, the fact that that the Republicans had the trifecta in Indiana, the governorship and both branches of the legislature, and were able to push through that law banning unions or restricting unions, and also banning Planned Parenthood. Is there going to be any change, do you think, in the legislature?
I think that the legislature may well be even more Republican now after the 2012 election than it was before. And again, because we have such polarized politics and because the two parties are so closely matched in strength, it really puts a premium for either party on taking advantage of any time that it has unified control of the federal or a state government to pass as much legislation as it can. We've certainly seen that with respect to anti-union legislation in a lot of states, Ohio, Wisconsin, various other places, because the unions are the great source of support for the Democratic Party over time. And so when you are in a situation where you know your party may not have unified control 2 years from now, but you've got it now, you had better try to push through just as much as you possibly can before the voters take it away from you again.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Professor Marjorie Hershey.
You're most welcome.
Again, I've been speaking with Professor Marjorie Hershey, who teaches political science at Indiana University in Bloomington. Her research focuses on political parties, campaigns, and elections. She is the author of Party Politics in America, the Major Political Parties text now in its 15th edition, and she received the American Political Science Association's Epstein Award for innovation in teaching. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the politics of abortion.